Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff supposed to be going on today, according to whatever your religious preference belief is. Planting, dying eggs. Yeah, dying eggs. Some of you are supposed to be sitting out in ashes and sackcloth somewhere, and I'm not even making that up. Some of you are.
Oh, that's right. You do the whole cross on your forehead and stuff on that party, right?
Yeah. And I don't know if this is the beginning or end of Lent. I can't remember. Those of you who don't know what Lent is, it's you're supposed to give up something for so many days, whatever have you. I became a vegetarian 1 year for Lent when I was still Catholic. And it was very difficult.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
I did lose a lot of weight. I looked excellent at the end of it, so. But I did look at the joys of veggie and cheese from Subway, which I still love, by the way, as a result of Lent. So I still eat those.
Yes, those are very good. Those are still good.
But they didn't have the Parmesan bread then, but they do now. Oh,
You know what? I don't have my Twitter open. I'm like, where is my Twitter?
Tweet.
I know.
Tweet.
I need my Twitter.
You want somebody to touch your Twitter?
Yeah, I do. Any volunteers?
I would like to apologize to Jay last night, by the way. I was supposed to be playing GTA with him. Dude, I sat down on the couch and I pulled a straight Corey. I was out cold. I don't know what happened.
I'm flirting with Molly, so yeah.
I woke up and it was daylight in my house. I was like, what the hell happened? I just sat down like 5 minutes ago. So yeah, I'm sorry, Jay.
Have more competition, Jay.
Oof. So if you missed our show last night, it was rather militant. We had special guest Molly Pop from We the Gamers, who is out at PAX East, probably wreaking havoc at approximately, I think, 8:35 this morning is the last time I saw her online, which was at about 9 o'clock Boston time, which is about the time they open the doors to PAX. So hope she's somewhere having a good breakfast and getting into some mayhem. But if you're listening, Molly, call in and tell us where you are.
And what you're wearing.
Hey, y'all need to stop bad.
What?
Bad Ginger.
Maybe.
Oh, goodness. So, Ginger, are you going first this morning or am I?
I think you're going to have to because I am having an issue. There we go. I finally. All right. Maybe I can do it now.
All right. Do it.
All right. Game Politics last night actually talked about this, but I want to go ahead and read the full story this morning. Registered sex offenders in New York targeted by Operation Game Over. Registered sex offenders of all designations residing in the state of New York will no longer be able to interact with children in some online console and PC games. New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman's office has convinced several platform holders and game companies such as Microsoft, Apple, Blizzard Entertainment, Electronic Arts, Warner Brothers, and Disney Interactive Media Group to shut down the communication privileges of registered sex offenders. The New York State AG is calling it Operation Game Over. Oh, and there's even an official press release. As well-intentioned as this agreement might seem, it is troublesome because an attorney general from one state has managed to bend some of the biggest players in the games industry to his will instead of allowing the New York State legislature to pass a law that deals with the same issue. On the other hand, there are rules in place about online interactions and registered sex offenders related to Facebook and other internet activities. Some states require registered sex offenders to turn over all their account information to a state agency or law enforcement. Say we can that this agreement covers online gaming on the Xbox 360, iOS devices, in World of Warcraft and other Blizzard games, all of Turbine's MMO titles, and Disney's various online games. Sony and Nintendo were not mentioned, but chances are they will join the ranks at some point. Schneiderman described online gaming as the possible 21st century crime scene if steps are not taken now to deal with sex offenders. He also said that his office is looking at ways to get this agreement expanded to other states. Personally, I have no issue with this. All right, I have a little bit of issue, but not much. I don't see the problem. These guys, girls, people should not have access to children in any way.
Yeah.
And just putting that temptation out there for them, they are sick. They should be kept away.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't see that as a sickness. They think they have control over it. And on one hand, you have to understand when somebody is sick, they don't have any control over it, or they wouldn't be doing it in the first place. Think about it. If this person was sane and normal, they wouldn't have done some of the things they've done.
I know I talk about it and I harp on it, but I was a child who grew up with this way. And when it finally came time that I was an adult and I stood up for myself and I pressed charges, the guy didn't see what he did as wrong, because for all his life, people had just, you know, told him, oh, it's a sickness and we'll just keep the kids away and you'll be fine. No. It wasn't.
No, they need help. The same way as a drug addict needs to go to rehab and then stay away from drugs for the rest of their lives. They can't say, oh, I'm just going to take a little drug this time. It has to be the same way with them. They need to be away from children. And I'm sorry, it sounds mean. They should be sterilized so they can't have children. They should not be allowed to be in a relationship with anybody who has children. That's it. I'm not saying everybody that is a offender. I am about saying I forgive you, but that doesn't mean you forget.
No.
What they are, who they are, they should not be around any kids, period.
I'm not one of the whole forgiveness people. I don't.
No, forgive. There's a way to forgive. Let me be clear. Forgive does not mean I'm going to welcome you into my home and here, sit next to my 5-year-old cousin. No, that means, you know, you did what you did. I'm going to try to give you the benefit of the doubt that you're, you know, you are sick and you have issues. But, you know, I have people here at my house that are 5, 6, 12, 20, you know, 18 years old. You can't come here.
Yeah. Then. I mean, of course, I do worry about this you hear about the 18, the 19-year-old boys that get stupid and have sex with a 16-year-old, which is really not that big of a deal, and they end up on the sex offenders list because of some over-vigilant parents. And I do feel bad for those. But in the grand scheme of things, these other guys, girls who are really sick and have this going on should not in any way be allowed around children, period.
Yes.
So I hate that you're going to lose your internet, but In the big picture, we're protecting people.
I don't know. There can be some type of solution that they come up with where they can keep their internet, but maybe, you know, instead of you guys trying to track down Kim.com, why don't you get Kim to make you something like this?
No kidding, right?
You have a section of the internet.
Yeah.
You are locked into like a jail. You cannot go to Disney. You cannot go to this. If we catch you trying to go, you're going to be in trouble. Just like they do with drug users. If we catch you using the crack, we're going to take you back to jail or put you back in rehab. This is a sickness, and it's a lifelong sickness. It needs to be treated that way.
Yeah.
Good on them, but somebody needs to come up with some other solution.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't keep them from the internet, not completely, and expect them to, you know, become productive members of society, unfortunately, because too much of our things are run by the internet. But still, they need to not be allowed in certain areas. Just the store, I'm sorry, maybe they need to have a badge on that says you can't even go in the children's section of the store. You know, something that identifies who they are. And then you people out there who are all against the sex offenders, you need to say, okay, I see you, I know who you are, and I'm going to help you out by keeping my child away from you, but not bashing them over the head or hitting them. And I say my perspective on this changed a little bit, ironically, from watching – did you ever watch the George Lopez show when he used to have the sitcom?
Yeah.
There is a particular episode that kind of comes from the perspective of a woman who was a sex offender. Remember, I told you all about this last week. She's the same – the actress is the same one that plays Pam on True Blood. But she was a sex offender. She moved into the neighborhood, and she really was just trying to go on with life. And the people got wind of it. The little boys got wind of it, and then they started trying to come to her house. Like George Lopez's son goes, and he takes off his shirt and They kept going over there, and she's like, you know, I didn't do anything to him. He came here, and he took his shirt off, you know, and I asked him to leave because this is, you know, a violation of my probation. I don't want to go back to jail. I didn't invite him here. And, you know, then they had to apologize to her and, you know, yell at the son, do you know, a trouble you could have caused for this woman? You know, she is a registered sex offender, and she was going to get in trouble for you being here. The little boys went because they were like, oh, you know, you're going to get, ooh, you know, Mrs. Robinson syndrome. Ooh, it's a lady. She's hot. She's a sex offender. She's definitely going to do you. So there, that's a whole other side we don't think about. Not everybody that does this is consciously sick. You put it that way. Some people are. They realize what they did is wrong, and they are trying to say, you know, I realize that I have a sickness, and I'm trying to go on with my life and not be put in a situation where I'm, you know, presented the opportunity to do this again. Much like drugs. Drug addicts don't go to drug parties and stand around them purposely. They say, you know, I can't be around this because it's going to cause a relapse. Same thing. And then the ones who are just sick and sadistic who enjoy it, and in which case you should be like, what's that the movie with Jet Li where they had a whole planet prison? The one? Yeah, you need to be in one of those where it's an island and y'all can just drop y'all off together. Y'all can do whatever y'all want. We'll drop off some food from the sky. It'll be some bread, and then we just pretend like y'all don't exist over there. Surround the island with sharks, you know? Just...
No. I think that's how Australia got started. I don't think that works.
Actually, that's how the Virgin Islands got started.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, I'll tell you about that later. Okay, so on to my news story. Yes, we're dragging a little bit this morning because there's not a whole lot of news, but we figure we'll discuss a little bit this morning.
Yeah.
One of my favorite games of all time has started a Kickstarter campaign and managed to get themselves funded in under 28 hours. It is Shadowrun. But here's the bad part. It's going to be a turn-based thing. Not the end. But Shadowrun. Oh. Well, let me just tell you the story. So it's over at GI.biz. If you remember, a lot of you don't know that there was a Shadowrun before the one that came out in 2007, the FPS title. And you remember how much of a failure it was and how people were going on. There's such a cult following. It's because there was no first-person shooter. The original game was done old school, tabletop book. I have one of the books here. I'm keeping it until it's worth some money, and it's now the value just went back up. Thank you. Fast Corporation. If you're not familiar with Shadowrun, it's a futuristic game utilizing high fantasy characters. It's perhaps most known in the core gaming circles as a commercially unsuccessful twist on first-person shooters. While it might not have been the biggest hit for Microsoft back in 2007, Shadowrun nevertheless has been a major franchise for ages with a very devoted fan base. Undeterred by the problems that plagued the Xbox 360 title, franchise creator Jordan Wiseman, who I managed to meet at E3 and scream at, what was it they doing FPS in the first place? Why did you not listen to me, Mr. Wiseman? You saw how upset I was. And his studio and Harebrained Schemes have reacquired the rights and launched their own Kickstarter, hoping to entice fans to fund a new shot at the game. Wiseman set out to raise $400,000 by April 29th, the day after my birthday. And within the first day alone, his Kickstarter successfully hit the goal on April 5th with 23 days to go to, and they currently have $411,468 at the time, as of yesterday, actually, and just under 9,000 backers. The game, of course, is well on its way to be the kind of to have the kind of success currently being enjoyed by Wasteland 2's team. Perhaps the most enticing and endearing about this is that to those backing the project is a short video included by the team. Wiseman personally apologizes for the problems that plagued the FPS version of the game that came out on 360 and PC back in 2007, even showing executive producer Mitch Gilman pelted small brown objects by holding up a sign exclaiming sorry to the fans.
Small brown or small round?
They should be brown. Because according to their Kickstarter page that I went over and checked out today, they are probably – I don't think they're going to recoup. It's not going to be any better. Right now I'm seeing that it's at 563,983, and they've got 12,000 backers so far. But the game is now moved to being a 2D turn-based single-player game with deep story interaction. They're saying meaningful character development and highly contextual combat. I got to say, I'm not liking this idea either. you guys are missing a prime opportunity to do, again, something amazing with the technology that you have. They're saying they're going to put out on Apple and Android tablets and PCs. This game here is one where they, if they would think about it for a second, they could do all kinds of crazy stuff. This game predates The Matrix, and a lot of the concepts in The Matrix, I would dare say, came from this game. The whole hacking and going into cyberspace was in this game before I knew what hacking was. Before anybody, you know, those of us knew it as a layman's term, I saw it here first. Going into cyberspace, I saw it here first, being able to attack the system. The whole RPG aspects, excellent. Story was beautifully done, even in comparison to the books. So there's a Sega Genesis version is the one that I'm talking about, and it was also done for Super Nintendo. And that one was highly successful. I spent a lot of my money calling to China. This is how much I love this game. There was no internet. I would call to China to their hints and tips line at 50 cents a minute. Do you hear what I'm telling you? 50 cents a minute and listen to get
tips.
Wow. Yeah, it was expensive. So this, you have a hardcore fan base. They really need to take this game and revamp it. And you go first person, but it needs to go the way of Deus Ex. You need to include the whole hacker thing. If you're going to put it on an Android and Apple tablet, that needs to be an extra added feature if you decide to play the character class of a Decker, which is the one that's a hacker. I'm redesigning your game for you. You're listening to me, people. Because this may be a little add-on you can pay for. Hey, here's $5. You can take your Decker, and they can actually have a deck on their Apple iPad, and they can hack people from there. And it needs to be multiplayer, so that if I want to be the Decker, Ginger wants to be the mage, and somebody else wants to be the samurai, mm-hmm. We should all be able to play and interact or put together teams, because that's what the game is based on. You put together a team, you all go in and attack a corporation, get their secrets out, or take on gangs. And Why is this not included? Why are you all still keep reinventing the wheel you already made? You already have all your stuff there. You just need to update it. So I'm not understanding what they're doing. I don't think this one's going to do that well. But I am proud of them for trying and not knocked down. We're going to give up. But please, I did ask them some questions. You know, why did you choose 2D? Why turn-based? They haven't answered as of yet, but we'll give them time. It's only been like 45 minutes since I asked, so we'll see what they say. But good luck to you guys over there. I hope it's successful. I don't see me playing it since you said 2D turn-based. Okay, here we go. Street Samurai, Combat Mage. You got your Hacker / Decker, and there you go. Four classes, and easy to put together, at least in my eyes. Ugh, guys, please change this. You got more than enough money, I think.
Yes.
Do something else.
All right, more Mass Effect 3. People. Seriously, come on, people.
Yes.
Mass Effect 3 DLC to offer a clearer ending. BioWare announced this morning that it plans to release new downloadable content that will address complaints about the ending to Mass Effect 3, and the really good news for consumers is that it will be totally and completely free. The downloadable content has been named Mass Effect 3 Extended Cut and will be released this summer. This should put to bed the petitions, forum posts, and articles complaining about how BioWare ended the Mass Effect trilogy. Not that we have an opinion one way or the other about it, says the writer. BioWare promises that the DLC will add further clarity to the ending of Mass Effect 3 and add deeper insights into how their personal journey concludes. The free DLC offer expires on April 12th of 2014. Since launch, we've had time to listen to the feedback from our most passionate fans, and we are responding, says Dr. Ray Mizuka, co-founder of BioWare. With the Mass Effect 3 Extended Cut, we think we have struck a good balance in delivering the answers players are looking for while maintaining the team's artistic vision for the end of the story arc in the Mass Effect universe.
No.
All right. Well, the thing that still gets me is we do not complain about how movies end, and we do not complain about how a song ends. We don't go back and make the artist change this. Why do you think you have the right to tell an artist it's a video game? Said, oh, hey, we don't like your ending. You have to change it.
That's like telling Da Vinci, I'm sorry, you're going to have to repaint the Mona Lisa. I don't like that smirk she's got.
Yes, exactly. I think that's so wrong. How insulting.
Yes, that is exactly the word I was looking for. That is an insult to them.
Yes.
If I was them, I'd be like, you know what? This is the last Mass Effect. Forget y'all. Now what you going to do? You going to complain?
Mm-hmm.
Make a new one yourself. Why don't you start your Kickstarter? Why don't you try to make it? They should not have even indulged this. They should have said nothing at no point. Just,
I know.
Whatever. Just don't say anything. If you don't like it, don't.
Had they not acknowledged it, had they just kept right on moving, it would have died off.
Yep.
But, you know, now you're going to put out this other ending and people are still not going to like it.
Well, no, they tried to speak up and say, you know, you have no right to tell us what to do with our game. Or somebody said something to that effect. And then, of course, somebody started a whole campaign and blah, blah, blah. But I think they should have just ignored the whole thing.
I'm going to start a petition against stupidity.
That's a big petition. All right. You all out there, you should listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you.
What are you about to say?
Stop playing boring MMOs. Stop having a boring life. Mm-hmm. Handbitsoft and T3's fun philosophy is to keep Mythos global and all fresh action MMORPG every month with completely new events to add to the gameplay experience for fans. The first two events for April are Lucky Adventure and Mythos Precognition, which both give double luck and double experience buffs at random times on random days. These two events will be ongoing through the month, so players will have plenty to show for their time in Mythos in the in Mythos Fantasy World of Ulid this month. Oh, gosh. One of them is called Golden Trash, which is an event which will turn your unused material or junk items into something very useful. Consider this an inspiration to be digitally eco-friendly. I'm not digitally eco-friendly, I tell you. GM may randomly request a certain material, and players must rush to him or her to swap it for a random item. They may be anything from an XP boost or to a tribute. For any random item, that may be anything from an XP boost to an attribute or skill reset. Mythos Global has two Facebook events going on this April. The first is the Mythical Quiz. For 2 weeks, beginning April 16th, the question about Mythos will be asked on the Facebook fan page every day. Players who correctly answer the question as fast as possible can win a special in-game costume. The other Facebook event is called Facebook Achievements and will be a permanent event where all players will be rewarded with triple luck buffs every time the fan page receives 300 new likes. Very smart. For more information about the game, you can visit the Mythos Global website at mythos.t3fun.com/home/home.aspx. For other news and events, like their official Facebook fan page at Mythos Global. And I love what they're doing. This is very old school. This is how Turbine was handling The Matrix Online before they got bought out by Sony. I keep saying Turbine. It might not have been them. Andrew, you're muted, by the way. They had a lot of in-game events. GMs, you know, would come. Actually, it was every week. Every week you had an in-game event on either, you know, three times a day during the day for people who were home, the lunchtime, and then night for people who were home at night. And very much about fan interaction. Come to me. Remember I told you the Matrix Online had three factions. You had your machine.
So when
they had the events, you had people who were on whatever side they were on. You were either with Neo, the machine humans, which was Cypher, or the machines themselves. So they'd always call you over and they'd say, give you this whole rousing speech, you know, those evil humans and those evil machines and the machines can't win, whatever their speech was. And then they'd say, okay, now get them. And then, you know, war would break out, fighting in the streets, people on fire, and all kind of stuff. So, and then, of course, that you had things you had to try to collect, so everybody's fighting. And I thought this was beautifully done. Unfortunately, they didn't get to go the distance with it. So it's nice to see somebody else is kind of picking up and run with it. With a Facebook and Twitter, it makes it even more fun because they can really, really get down and dirty and interact with their players, you know, everywhere. Very smart to say, if you like our page, every time we get 300 likes, you'll get blah, blah. Very smart.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to blow up.
Yeah.
Nice.
They are. They're going to be huge. Huge. Huge.
Nice.
All right. What have we got? Federal court gives Amazon a win against Colorado sales tax reporting law.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. A federal judge has ruled in favor of Amazon in a case it filed against the state of Colorado for trying to collect sales tax under a new law. The court found that because the company didn't have a physical presence in the state, that Colorado didn't have the right to collect, and the new law style of the Interstate Commerce Clause in the Constitution, specifically legislation forcing out retailers to report their customers' purchases to the state's tax authority. Under the Commerce Clause, only Congress can pass laws that regulate commerce between states, and the Supreme Court has ruled that forcing retailers to collect out-of-state sales tax creates a burden on interstate commerce. The business of interstate sales tax collection is under the purview of national lawmakers who have entertained the idea in the past but have yet to act. Last Friday, Judge Robert Blackburn ruled that the reporting requirement discriminated against out-of-state retailers. While the Colorado law doesn't specifically target out-of-state businesses, it does target businesses that do not collect Colorado sales tax, which the court has ruled amounts to the same thing. Colorado's reporting law imposes a differential burden on what out-of-state retailers imposes a differential burden on out-of-state retailers because the different burden is imposed precisely because the retailer is an out-of-state retailer who is exempted by the Supreme Court from paying sales tax in Colorado. Oh, I'm going to lose my voice. Only a change in the law by the Supreme Court or action by Congress can change the situation and allow states to reach out-of-state retailers, he concluded. All right, so this is kind of nuts, personally. Can you imagine? Because each state has their own sales tax or doesn't have sales tax. This is just ridiculous. And to expect a company, especially some of these small companies, and some of these little mom-and-pop places, I mean, think about it. eBay, is it Bitsy? Etsy. There we go. Etsy and some of these other places to collect sales tax for each sale, depending on where the person is from. That's a little bit nuts. Just slightly.
So wait a minute. Are they asking the people to collect sales tax or asking Etsy to collect each sales tax from each people and eBay to collect the tax? I'm going to assume
it's going to be eBay and Etsy and stuff like that, but I mean, still.
Do you know how much programming that's going to take for them to sit down and go through every tax?
Exactly.
And then have to...
And you know they're going to try to pawn it off on these small people, especially eBay and Etsy. They're going to be like, all right, well, you have to collect the sales tax and report it on your taxes and everything.
Well, generally they do anyway, but if you're actually putting it upon, you know, eBay to do it, you know, to keep up with every single little person, that is going to be...
Yes.
That's horrible. Ugh.
And I'm afraid they're going to end up spending more money to revamp these systems than they're actually going to bring in.
Yeah, and then we may lose an eBay. We may lose an Etsy and a lot of their livelihood.
Yeah.
That's how they make their money.
Mm-hmm.
So our economy's bad. People find a way to get around it by making money, you know, doing whatever it is they do, and then you're going to shoot them in the right foot. Nice. All right. Fable is another of the Xbox franchises that's set to join the print media expansion. Following in the footsteps of Gears of War, Halo, Mass Effect, and other titles developed for the Xbox 360, Fable will be getting a physical media publishing deal in the near future. The book, which will be called Fable at the Edge of the World, will focus on events transpiring in the game's universe in between Fable 3 and the upcoming Fable The Journey. The Fable canon, the stories, characters, and gameplay that we've crafted for many years is near to the hearts of our loyal fans and the employees at Lionhead Studios. This is from Lionhead Studios business manager Gareth Sutcliffe. He says, we believe Random House Worlds will do an excellent job representing our storied franchise and creating assets our fans will find highly valuable. The deal has been inked by Prima Games and Random House, both with background in publishing for gaming-centric novels. Besides the main novel already announced, the franchise will get a small series of digital-only shorts that will be released from this year. All of the stories will work as supplements to the smaller downloadable game Fable Heroes. I don't think this should be done at all. Just stop it. There's enough lore and everything in the game. Just leave it alone. Fable is fine. It doesn't need a book. I maybe would have gone with a movie, but still I would have wanted a princess.
Yeah.
I would have wanted a princess, not the prince. But I don't think it's needed. I think the game is epic all on its own. The Fable 3 was not highly fantastic, but it wasn't bad. I did finish it. Still too short, but it doesn't need a book. Gears of War, Halo, maybe they can, maybe even Mass Effect, but this one I think the lore is pretty much well covered in the game. They explain pretty much as you go along very well what has happened, and in a very dramatic fashion, you know, with the voiceover and the flashback and the slow motion and
slow motion like that.
Yes, and I like the opening of Fable. So they talk about how a revolution starts. It's all one that thinks different, and it's a chicken. And everybody who's played Fable knows the significance of the chicken. And for those of you who haven't, I'm not going to give it away any further, but it was very beautifully done storytelling-wise. So, doesn't need any books. Boo on you book people. I like books, but just not... Leave my games and books separate.
Yeah, leave my games and leave my books separate. Just separate, please. Thank you. All right, so what have I got? I've apparently got a spinning screen. That's always fun. All right, here we go. Forgive me, this one's a little bit odd. hit retro platformer Beans Quest. Oh, yeah, boys. Now available on Android device. Why am I hearing all kinds of fart jokes? Anyways, the game combines 16-bit retro styling with a modern physics engine and an incredibly intuitive control scheme to create a platforming experience that is at once familiar and completely fresh. Emilio, transformed into a jumping bean by an evil wizard, is constantly jumping, and the player simply presses left or right to move in that direction. This affords a level of precision platforming rarely seen on mobile and tablet devices. Completing each level is only the beginning. Achieving all three challenges per level, collect all gems, find the hidden exotopal, and complete the level in the minimum number of jumps required is another thing altogether. All right, so we've got a couple of highlights. Platforming that is instantly familiar, yet also completely new. Unique control scheme. Speed runs reinvented. 50 challenging stages across 5 worlds, final boss battles that will require all your platforming skills to complete, and gorgeous retro pixel art and 13 pieces of original chiptune music. I even got some prizes here. $2.99 USD, $2.99 Australia, $1.99, £1.99 pounds, London francs, I think that's euros actually, and £2.39 pounds. So head over to GameAndAtrix.com this morning. I even have you up a trailer, so go check this out.
Yay. Wow. I'm here. I was trying to breathe. Okay, so I got 2 short ones.
What you got? What you got?
Well, apparently Twitter is just as annoyed by those spammers as we are, so they've sued them to beef up their security. Isn't it nice? If you're sick of the Twitter spam, join the club. According to VentureBeat, that club now includes Twitter, which is taking spammers to court. Thursday morning, the social media company filed a lawsuit against some of the biggest, baddest perpetrators of Twitter spam. On the Twitter blog this afternoon, it was said that the company is specifically targeting the 5 most used tools that makes Twitter spam possible. They say, with this suit, we're going straight to the source. The company's statement reads, by shutting down tool providers, we will prevent other spammers from having these services at their disposal. Furthermore, we hope the suit acts as a deterrent to other spammers, demonstrating the strength of our commitment to keep on Twitter. Email from Twitter headquarters to VentureBeat this morning further revealed that even though the startup's large staff of anti-spam and security engineers are putting up strong safeguards against the spam content, the company has decided that now is the time for legal action. The defendants were in clear violation of the Twitter rules, wrote a company spokesman in the email. Taking legal action sends a clear message to all would-be spammers that there are serious and costly consequences to violating our rules with their annoying and potentially malicious activity. Very true. So we focused on tool providers. They have willfully created tools that enable others to propagate spam onto Twitter. Of the 5 targeted tool providers, 1 has already been yanked off the web, and it's called Tweet Attacks. Yeah. Other programs and people named in the first lawsuits from Twitter include TweetBuddy, TweetAdder, James Lucerno, who's best known on How to Get Justin Bieber to Follow You page, and it's one of them, and Garland Harris of Troption? Yeah, I guess. So they're saying take a legal action. Taking legal action is just one tactic in our anti-spam arsenal. This week, they're saying they rolled out a system to more aggressively suspend a new type of at-mention spam. Last year, said we implemented a tool to determine if links posted on Twitter led to malicious content or malware, in order to protect users from them, and we're actively growing our spam engineering team to create scalable technical solutions. Also, Twitter recently acquired Dacent, which is a security firm. The company says it's important to this growing startup's future plan to secure and a spam-free user experience. I appreciate that you did that, Twitter, because that annoys us every morning. We'll be doing the news, and then I'll always get somebody that sends me something, and I'm thinking it's one of our fans, and then I say, wait, what is that?
Yeah, I don't click on just anything anymore. That's just, yeah, no.
Okay, I got a second short. That one actually short, but okay, I do have a second one that I need to tell you about. This is actually a couple of days old, but you do need to know about it. Credit card processor Global Payments released a statement admitting that its systems have been compromised. Yeah. The announcement came after reports surfaced that thousands of credit card accounts have been breached through its machine. Yes, last week, security researcher Brian Krebs discovered Visa and MasterCard are alerting U.S. banks to a credit card hack. The companies were informing the institutions that a vulnerable payment processor was allowing cyber criminals to obtain data associated with a number of credit cards. The affected processors were believed to be located in parking garages around the New York City area. Soon after the report surfaced, Visa issued a statement confirming the breach. At the time, Krebs cited the PSCU as estimating the total compromised credit cards at over 50,000. It says, we're taking rapid progress toward bringing this issue to a close. Global Payments Chief Executive Paul R. Garcia said, over business and continue to process transactions for all of the card brands. Garcia confirmed that Track 2 data or credit card account numbers were indeed stolen and that the total number is now up to 1.5 million. Names, addresses, and security numbers belonging to these accounts, however, remain safeguarded, according to Global Payments. The company assured customers that it identified and self-reported the issue when it was discovered in early March. Law enforcement is currently working with Global Payments, and the incident has been contained so far. So you might want to keep an eye on your credit card if you have a Visa or MasterCard. Make sure you don't have any erroneous charges.
Fun stuff.
That's bad, but it happens all day, every day. So, but still, we try to let you know.
Yeah. All right, and I am having all kinds of fun over here with Games for Us today. Open Games press release: launch a bunny farm for iOS platform. Yay!
Try to calm yourself, Ginger.
Poppin' Games has started a full promotion for our first title, Bunny Farm. Bunny Farm is a new social game filled to the brim with hundreds of hip-hoppity ways to fulfill your bunny's farm fantasies. Bunny Farm features a lightning-fast download speed, instant booting, oh my god, and quick load times. Play unique mini-games with iPhone's accelerator, befriend more than 80 adorable bunnies, collect dozens of costumes, pirate bunnies, and ninja bunnies, oh my god, all while growing over 15 types of delicious crops. Play often for daily bonuses and ultra spin rewards and enjoy free updates with new bunnies, buildings, crops, and more. Play offline and manage your farm anytime, anywhere, bunnies on a plane. You can even connect with Facebook and visit friends' farms or add neighbors. All right, so we've got a couple of features. Unique minigame using iPhone's accelerator. Over 80 adorable bunnies to befriend. Pirate bunnies, ninja bunnies, dozens of costumes to choose from. That's so cute. I may have to do that just for the pirate and the ninjas. Daily bonus and ultra spin rewards, gorgeous hand-painted graphics, over 15 varieties of crops to cultivate, connect with Facebook to visit friends' farms and neighbors, free updates with new bunnies, buildings, crops, and more. And again, like I said, you can play offline, manage your farm anytime, anywhere.
Ooh, really?
Uh-huh. All right, so this is for the iPhone 4S, 4, 3GS, the iPod Touch 3rd or 4th Gen, and any iOS 4.0 or later.
Oh, I'm going to be able
no
to play that.
No Android love here, though.
I'm going to be able to play it anyway.
Yeah.
Freaking bunnies.
By the way, your bunny ears, totally adorable.
I know, right? Well, Game has confirmed yesterday that you consumers out there can use your Game cards again, your Game reward cards, all normal-like and stuff coming this weekend. The Game Group has confirmed that it will begin accepting its gift and loyalty cards again, while out loyalty scheme. Ah, wow. I cannot talk. Game told Eurogamer, said, while our loyalty scheme and gift cards are suspended by the administrator during the period of administration last week, now that the business is under new ownership, they are being reinstated in full this weekend. It was also promised that it is working. They've also promised that they're working hard to bring new stock to the shelves. There will be a much bigger range of products for customers to choose from in the next couple of weeks. On Monday, former Game Managing Director Martin Gibbs took the chief executive role at the retailer. Nice, Martin. Congratulations, Game. Looks like you're on the comeback trail. Even though your stock was delisted 3 days ago, but we have no doubt you'll be back.
I'll be back.
Yeah, I'll be back. You people over in the UK, you really need to support your going out and support Game, because you don't want GameStop there, trust me. You really don't want them there.
Oh, no, GameStop is evil. They're horrible. The boys stink. Oh, yeah. I totally came out and said that. The boys stink.
And that's not nice.
There you go, pew you. There might be a whole bunch of those.
Oh, I did not. Nice.
All right. And seriously, there's just random news today. Nothing major. Super Ball Escape HD for iPad is free during the weekend. Play Lithium is pleased to announce that Super Ball Escape HD is available for free on the App Store only during this weekend. iPad's owners can take advantage of it to download and discover the unique action game playable with a tilt control. Be fast to get better. Who wrote this? Be fast to get Super Ball Escape HD will be paid after the weekend. All right, so I'm going to assume this is not made by anybody. Oh, yeah, it's from Shanghai, China. All right. Super Ball Escape HD is an action-adventure game for iPad and iPad 2 that will challenge your balance and agility skills to the max. Take control of your robot ball and help him escape from the evil corporation that created him. Using precise tilt control from your device, roll your ball with skill and dexterity through many fun levels to escape to your freedom. The game has multiple mazes with many traps. Being spotted by patrol robots can be lethal. You will need to move with stealth precision to avoid being seen, and you can choose to unlock any of 7 upgrades to help you progress through the maze. Will you choose to infiltrate or use force to overcome enemies blocking your way? All right, so again, this is Super Ball Escape, and it's for the iPad, and it's free this weekend, so head over there and check that out. Oh, and if you head over to GameAndMatrix.com, I have a video up for you. So, yeah, go see that one.
No, and you can't make me.
I can totally try.
No, and you can't make me. No.
Aw, but I want you to.
Hmm. Oh, well, got some good news for you.
Oh, yeah? What you got?
We're getting close to the launch of Deadliest Warrior Ancient Combat.
Yay! Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
If you're not familiar, it's a franchise currently with more than 700,000 copies sold. It's the most distinct of all of them, or so they say. That was mean, wasn't it?
Totally mean and vicious and wrong and raw.
Well, if you're not familiar with the game, it is a kind of a fighter thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's Sun Tzu versus Shaka. Sun Tzu is supposed to be most famous for his seminal work on military strategy, The Art of War. More than any other fighter in warrior ancient combat, Sun Tzu continues to influence the lives and philosophies of people across the world. The philosopher lived 500 years before the birth of Christ, and just because he's old doesn't mean he isn't dangerous. In Deadliest Warrior, he's been given a balanced and flowing fighting style with a danger you wouldn't expect. Have you ever... Well, I have that book, The Art of War. Must read. Must have. Shaka, who is the other opponent, is reigning across the planet from Sun Tzu, separated by over 2,300 years.
That was cute, by the way.
Yes. Shaka of the Zulu Nation, yes, that's right, people, was an important figure in African history that united the Zulu kingdom and is known for his statesmanship and brutality. Considered a military genius, Shaka created a distinct ruling methodology different from traditional Eastern and Western methods. Shaka wasn't just a ruler on the battlefield. He developed long throwing spears called asangai and short stabbing spears just as lethal. With his steel spear, Shaka is a formidable threat against Sun Tzu. Wow. I do believe this is the first time he's ever made an appearance in a video game. Shaka Zulu, and Sun Tzu for that matter. That's going to be an interesting fight. Anyway, if you want to check out, why did they not send us a link? What is wrong with you peoples over there?
I know. Come on, people.
We try to send people to check out your stuff. Well, we'll have to keep you up to date, I guess, on the Deadliest Warrior. I don't think they're the only two characters, but I think they're the one they're sending to feature this week. But I'm very impressed that they're very ethnically diverse with the fighters that they're picking. So can we get a girl thrown in there too? Can we get a Joan of Arc thrown in there? That would be hot.
Interesting. All right. Have we already talked about Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds developer launches space combat game Kickstarter. So many Kickstarters, I'm starting to confuse. The only one that's important is ours. When are we going to go, people? Gary Gaber, the project lead on Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds and Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds Clone Campaigns, while at LucasArts, has launched a Kickstarter to raise funds for a space combat game for PC and PlayStation Vita called Starlight Inception. Gaber is looking to raise about $150,000 for the game, which he describes as a first-person, third-person, free-roaming space shooter. If all goes well with the funding, Gaber hopes to have the game ready for takeoff in the third quarter of 2013. From the actual Kickstarter page itself, it says Starlight Inception is a space combat experience with modern elements of strategy and tactics. You assume the role of a young space fighter pilot assigned to the star carrier USF Independence, deploying to hotspots throughout the solar system during World War IV. Starlight Inception is a realistic, relevant first-person, third-person, free-roaming space combat experience. It has a unique and an action with an involving storyline. Features include ship-based combat in both space and on planets and moons, interplanetary exploration, and multiplayer dogfighting. If Starlight Inception sounds like fun, you can support it by visiting the link, which if you want it, I'm not going to give it to you because it's really, really long. You can go get it on GamePolitics.com. As of the writing, Gaber has raised $4,491 of the $150,000 goal with 33 more days to go. You know what? Y'all are willing to fund that stupid, awful... Oh, what was that one? Leisure Suit Larry. Stop. Go put your money with one instead. Be good, little boys and girls, and go put your money with Gaber.
Be nice, Ginger. Be nice.
Oh, that was totally nice. I could have been mean. That was nice.
Uh-oh. All right, so I just posted some pictures of Boston Zoo and today they sent over some weird stuff. I figured you'd like to see them. It actually looks interesting. Whew. Wow, people, so much goodness going on. Juicy news, right?
Are you?
Juicy news. Okay, so Google has unveiled, and actually I saw this yesterday, but we didn't get to tell you about it. I was like, I'm not even sure if I want to talk about this, but they're called augmented reality glasses, or called Project Glass. They're now in the public phase of testing. The internet, or more aptly on Google Plus, has an introductory video that showcases many of the headset's functions. Google wants to test to start a conversation that will help improve the project. Basically, they want you guys to help shape it. Project Glass features a near transparent video screen that transmits information right in front of the user's eye. The video suggests that the user will be able to receive information both contextually on demand about their location, weather conditions, and reminders from their schedule, presumably through integration with Google's other products like Google Plus, Google Maps, Gmail, and others. Wow, this is so back to the future. Specific examples featured in the video include instant alerts for upcoming emails and texts, the ability to dictate responses, and voice control in general, and a function that projects arrows on the real world to help the user reach a destination. Google has not yet released any information regarding pricing or a release date. I am kind of in awe.
Yeah?
I am really kind of in some complete kind of awe. And I think my PC is about to crash on top of that.
No, I saw your mom was doing that a minute ago, and I was like, no, don't you do it. Don't you do it.
It's frozen. But while I wait for it to crash or whatever it's going to do, I am in complete and total awe. I did not see Google as the ones doing this. I was thinking it was going to be somebody on a console. I'm amazed. Google
has their hands in a little bit of everything. So, you know, I told you a while back, if anybody's going to take over the world, it's going to be Google.
Yeah, I got to say, I agree with you. I like the concept, especially for somebody like me. If I had on glasses, something that's right in front of my face, I like the whole walking thing. The only danger I see is somebody like me getting caught up in the whole arrow. The arrow's pointing that way. Of course, that's a busy intersection, but the arrow's pointing that way.
Yes, yes, yes. I still remember my first GPS trying to point me off the top of a, what do you call those? Those big overpasses. Anyways, big overpasses. You got a whole bunch of them. They like crisscross everywhere. And it was trying to throw me off the top of one. It was like, take a left turn here. And I was like, that's off the edge.
That is a death path.
I don't want to go that way. So for like the next I kept hearing, rerouting now.
You're staying
rerouting there. Now.
Go straight ahead. No, I can't go straight ahead. Go straight ahead. I can't go.
There's nothing there. Yeah.
Okay, that means that the Google people need to redo their maps. Okay, seriously, I am crashing or something. I'm not even sure. I'm afraid I'm going to get the blue screen of death here.
Uh-oh. I've got a scavenger hunt. I don't think we've talked about this one. This sounds kind of interesting. If you were at PAX East today, Nintendo bringing Kid Icarus Scavenger Hunt to PAX East.
Ooh, how nice.
Yes. Nintendo plans for the Boston PAX East convention to include a scavenger hunt and game tournament in addition to a selection of playable 3DS games. The company's plans revolve around recently released 3DS game Kid Icarus Uprising, one of which had been coming soon since its June 2010 reveal. Visitors to the Nintendo booth will be invited to find, trade, and share collectible Kid Icarus Uprising cards. Those with a 3DS and a copy of the game handy can take part in a multiplayer tournament on the evening of PAX East, opening day Friday 6th, which is today. I can't breathe. Playable versions of the 3DS.
Playable virgins? Really, Ginger?
Playable virgins. Playable versions of the 3DS's upcoming Mario Tennis Open and Spirit Camera, The Cursed Memoir, will be available in addition to Mario Kart 7 and Resident Evil Revelations. Residential Evil. Oh, my God. Anyways.
I like the idea.
That's a game about a really, really ticked off housewife. Anyway. selections from Nintendo's online eShop include the as-yet-unreleased Aztec puzzle game Quetzal Corridors, current favorites Pushmo and Security Samurai, and surprise February download Dylan's Rolling Western, which I've never heard about. Anyways,
I know it's fun. I gotta
get. Nintendo will be joining a host of developers and publishers at PAX East, such as Microsoft, 2K Games, Ubisoft, and Square Enix, as well as a clutch of indie game developers. Yeah, so that's everybody. So, anyways, I'm gonna lose my voice. If you're at PAX East, go do this. This sounds like fun. And then take pictures and send them to me at ginger@gameandatrix.com.
Hey, you got to do another because I had to restart.
Yay! Fun
Yay, right.
stuff.
I know, right?
Right. I don't think we've talked about this. We may have. I know there's been rumors. Wii U coming November 18th, says a report. Correspondence received by Wii U Daily and IGN indicates that Nintendo's Wii U home console is heading for a mid-November debut. The console is designed to work with old Wii games and controllers, as well as software designed for the Wii U's new tablet-style interface. See, Sony and Xbox, this is how you do it. Wii U Daily's leaked launch date is supposed to have come by way of Japanese retail store MediaLand with an internal memo detailing a Sunday, November 18th launch in North America and November 25th debut for Japan. IGN's information claims to hail from a GameStop regional manager and again pegs the Wii U for a November 18th release in North America at least. The date ties in with previous North American launches for the Wii U, which was November 19th, 2006, and GameCube November 18th, 2001. Though the Wii U's European plans are not mentioned, the regional launch for the Wii began December 8th, 2006. Nintendo formally confirmed the Wii U at the Electronic Entertainment Expo in June 2011 and is expected layout plans for its 2012 release at this year's event. Rumors are already starting to fly about Microsoft and Sony's rival consoles, thought likely to arrive in 2013, though the two manufacturers prefer to push the hands-free Kinect and portable Vita during this year's presentation. Awesome. So November 18th for the Wii U. I can't wait. This is going to be fun.
I was thinking it's
going to be closer to Christmas, but no, this is around Christmas shopping time. People start shopping right about then, so yeah.
Well, you know there's going to be a mad rush to...
Yes, that too.
And fighting and that kind of business going
on. Yes, and I will have this. And the first person to get in my way, I'm going to totally take your hands off. Yes. All right, so how are you doing over there?
Go ahead and do another one. I'm still waiting to reboot.
All right, I can do that. I hate this one. Angry Birds become an animated TV series this fall.
Actually, we talked about that one.
Did we talk about that one already? All right. What insiders are saying about Orbis? If it'll load. All right, here we go. I got a couple of things. The Japanese electronics manufacturer Sony is gearing up for holiday 2013 release, and the new system may put your local GameStop out of business. When the PlayStation 3 debuted in November 2006, eager gamers camped outside of stores overnight to become among the first to get their hands on Sony's new flagship system. Now, with the console's successor rumored to be getting a holiday 2013 release, early details are leaking out, even though an official announcement is still likely several months away. So we've got a couple of things that insiders are saying. Of course, we've already heard and we've already griped about it. PlayStation 4 not to be called PlayStation 4, it's to be called Orbis.
Orbis.
Yes. It's a name loaded with meaning, says Luke Plunkett at Kotaku. The word Orbis itself from Latin means circle, ring, or even orbit.
No, it doesn't. We said we found what it meant. Yeah. Of unknown origins is what it means.
It means dumb to me. The visuals will blow your mind. The Orbis will reportedly support 3D games and a maximum screen resolution of 4096 by 2160, which is far above the current standard for high-definition televisions. I know you can't buy a TV or even a computer monitor that comes near that today. This is from Matt Peckham at Time, but maybe Sony's planning to make one. Oh, really, people? And a 3D TV? I'm just not impressed. At least not so far. All the 3D TVs I've seen are just really crappy.
I can't see anything on them.
No, with 3DS, I really wasn't all that pleased about it. It gave me a headache.
It didn't give me a headache. Look, that's the only 3D I've ever been able to see.
Mm-hmm. Worse yet, like we've said, it won't support old games. They say, remember how the PlayStation 3 was shamelessly incompatible with PS2 games? The same applies here. Sources say that Orbis won't even bother and that Sony has no plan to offer compatibility with existing catalog of PS3 games. Gamers attached to PS3 titles might want to hold on to their current rig. Yes,
right.
Down with Orbis. Screw you, Orbis. Rumor number 4. Orbis could kill the used games market. Orbis games will reportedly be available either for download or purchase in Blu-ray format. And these games, what are we laughing about?
Horace.
What did he say?
As soon as my Twitter gets back up, the first thing I see is Horace saying, I can't wait for my PlayStation 19. Nanobots go up my nose straight to my brain. Yeah.
I totally missed that. That's hilarious. Jay says he thinks Orbis is just a code name. God, I hope so, because that is a horrible, horrible name.
I believe it's a code name too, but
new games, you can't use your old games. That just sucks.
But I was hoping that Vita was just a code name too, till you know they pulled out the castanets and people started dancing, and they were like, "Yeah, this is about right."
There was everywhere.
And this is Vita. Click, 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 click. You know the.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I had to do it. Ah, do we have time for one more? Now that I'm back,
we got 3 minutes left.
Hmm.
I think we just play music and say we're out of here. It's Friday.
It is Good Friday. Ginger just don't want me to do news. That's fine. You be like that.
You can do news if you want.
No. Well, you guys have a wonderful weekend. Have a good Friday. Remember, it is a holiday weekend, so if you can get somewhere and stay there, we'll probably be best. Stop trying to drive around. Don't let your Aunt Toothy tell you got to go out and pick up beer at the corner store. Tell her, nope, drunk people out there. I'm staying in. Please be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you
drink
and drive.
Drunk people in here, so yeah.
Yeah, make sure you are also not the one drinking and driving. Stay in. Be safe. We hope to see you guys bright and early on Monday. Oh. Did I forget to tell them?
Possibly.
No time for goodbye. You
then.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah!